welcome to a live edition of ARG Presents. I'm your good buddy.
Aaron, turn off the crowd noise.
Your good pal, Migo Aaron. I'm joined by a man that's not used to going to conventions unless he's dressed like a horse. I give you the original Brony, Jabroni, the Brent.
You know, you were my second at the one convention that we went to together.
Well, I wasn't
you
dressed like a horse.
You know what? Yeah, you were the back end of the horse, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, real good, eh? So, this is a special ARG Presents. We're here live at Boatfest 2022. A packed studio audience here. A sea of humanity. Computers, consoles, everything all over the place.
Absolutely. Aaron, what have you thought of Boatfest thus far?
No, it's been great.
If it wasn't for all those jerks that showed up.
I've had a good time, had a lot of fun. It went quite swimmingly. I've had a good time. But this could all go south in a hurry.
Yes.
Because the Brent has come up with the stupidest, most harebrained scheme. I'm not even going to try to explain it because I don't even know what it is. Because this is a special ARG Presents. It's going to be under Brent rules. So, Brent, what are your stupid rules?
You know, Aaron, last night, I left the convention a little bit early. Got home about 11 or 10:30 or so. And I started thinking about this. And I started thinking, this is the dumbest thing we've ever attempted.
No. We is not involved. This was all you. Well, I had nothing to do with it.
I agree with that, except you're sitting beside me.
Well, I know.
So, let me real quick explain what's going to happen. We are going to spin this wheel.
Yeah.
All right. And a subject that we have not prepped for at all is going to come up.
Yeah.
We are going to pick a game from the system or topic.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it for a limited amount of time. And then we are going to spin the wheel again. And every time that wheel spins, the time to think of a topic, explain ourselves, and move on is going to get shorter and shorter.
Okay.
Until we literally just run out of time.
Okay.
So are you ready for our first thing?
I'm not. Let me get this rule straight. When you're going to spin the wheel, and then we're gonna talk about one game on one system.
Yes.
And we're going to debate this game.
Correct.
The merits of this game.
And we're going to speak a little bit about the system or the topic at hand.
What if you don't know about it?
Well, then you're going to look real stupid.
I'm not, because I know all those.
Oh, you think so, huh? You think so. All right. Let me get the stopwatch going.
Does that have to be that precise where you've got to keep time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fun of it.
All right, I'm going.
Are you ready?
I'm not.
Can you give me a wheel cam, Aaron?
There we go. You got it.
And there we go. Start the timer. The Odyssey 2.
All right.
Aaron, I'm going to pick Pickaxe Pete. What do you think about that?
Well, we already covered that one, haven't we?
Okay, what would you like to talk about then?
Let's talk about Brazilian Popeye.
Brazilian Popeye. Well, that wasn't actually released in the States.
It's still an Odyssey 2 game.
That doesn't matter.
Let's talk about Brazilian Popeye. So if you haven't played Odyssey 2, Odyssey 2 is a great machine for Magnavox. It was the first machine we ever had, and my dad bought it for us because it had a keyboard, so he thought it'd be like a computer. It was not.
It was not a computer. No, in fact, it's possibly the worst keyboard I've ever tried to use in my life.
It's a membrane keyboard, but I mean, it's cool. It does have a keyboard.
Is.
You can type in your name for high scores.
And that's mainly what it was used for.
And so it got released over in Europe as a video pack, and it was also released in Brazil. And so they came up with a Popeye clone down there because there weren't a lot of games ported to the Odyssey 2. In this version of Popeye, I believe it's one screen. Popeye's a big, freaky-looking guy. He walks around collecting the hearts in a very blocky way. What were your thoughts on this particular
effort? Well, my first question to you is, do you think that they were trying to replicate... Well, obviously, they were trying to replicate the arcade,
well,
right?
Duh.
But how well do you think they pulled it off?
Not that great.
It's a horrible version.
Well, I mean, it's what do you want? It's Odyssey 2. It's like a couple of steps up for a calculator.
The calculator can play Doom. We've already discussed that.
Well, not those are much more modern.
This was a horrible game. It was horrible controls. It was horrible. The controls were fine, but what you were trying to do in the game were so different from the arcade. Yeah, you were trying to collect the things, but everything else was wrong.
Well, I liked it. Me and Boat played a lot because we liked stupid stuff, you know, and so we liked to play the games, like especially games from another country. So I enjoyed it. I thought they got the one screen down pretty well. I mean, you got to think the Odyssey had a very basic graphic set.
Do you think the reason why they didn't do more screens was because they just couldn't, or do you think they just didn't want to?
No, I think they just couldn't. I don't think they also couldn't. They don't know how.
I disagree. How can a game, like I want to talk about Pickaxe Pete, right?
Yeah.
That game has multiple screens.
Yeah.
And it has multiple levels, multiple concepts going on.
Right.
Why could they do it and Brazilian Popeye couldn't?
Let me ask you, have you ever played Pick XPeat, the arcade game?
No.
Because there isn't one. Because they weren't trying to emulate something else.
But they
did. That's obvious.
Okay.
Any dipstick could figure that out.
Would you recommend people going out and trying to play Brazilian Popeye?
Absolutely.
Yes. No. Because if you want to play Popeye, just go play Popeye.
That takes a lot of fun out of it. And you can say that about every clone or every port of everything.
I just disagree. Now, as the Odyssey on a whole, as most people know, because we've talked about it before, great, great little console for back in the day.
Yeah.
Would you consider it a console or a computer?
It's a console.
Okay.
A computer? What could you do with it?
You could program on it.
How?
There was
in America you couldn't. Only in Europe they released a basic cartridge. I'm just saying.
You couldn't play Popeye in America either.
Would you want to type in a game on that keyboard?
Oh, no.
That makes a Spectrum keyboard look like one of the greatest keyboards of all time.
It is.
It's absolute crap. Move on.
All right. Are you ready for spin number two?
Give
me some zoom in here.
I mean,
now here.
Spin number one went so good.
Here's the thing.
What if we get Odyssey 2 again?
That's the risk.
So you really didn't think this through, did you?
So Odyssey 2, Aaron.
Are you kidding me? Spin it again.
No, Odyssey 2. I want to talk about another game. Quest for the Rings.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We have Quest of the Rings. How much of a step forward for video games, or do you think that was a step backwards for video games, integrating a board game into a computer game?
It was awesome. It's a great game. Me and the boat played around. If you look on YouTube, you can find it on our channel. In fact, we've got one of the few videos where you play a full complete game of it. It's a lot of fun. Multiplayer. It integrates the game well with the board game. You know, I think they did a good job. As a collectible item,
it's
one of the all-time great boxed games because you've got that nice map. You've got those metal tokens in there. You've got that beautiful box that opens up like a treasure map. All that great art.
Yes.
I mean, if I had to say, if someone said, they pressured me, what's the all-time greatest boxed game? It would be up there just because
wow.
It's so beautiful. It's all embossed. Anyone that's seen it knows it's all gold. All the rule books. Gold, it's
yes.
In full color.
And I don't think you're wrong about that statement. I would actually probably agree with you. Now, I have a question. Why did that not catch on?
Well, because no one owned an Odyssey. That's
why. No. Why did the concept of video game / board game, because they went the other way with it, and the other way with it became incredibly popular. Your Mario parties, you can even play modern board games. Clue and Trivial Pursuit and crap like that on a system.
Yeah.
But why did that hybrid model not catch on? Why did it fail?
Well, I'll tell you why. I don't think people have the... When they play video games, they want to play video games, all right? They don't want to drag out pieces and put up a puzzle board. There's two... You're trying to combine two different sort of crowds. The board game crowd is not necessarily a video game crowd. And also, some people that like board games... They just don't want to mix and match them with their video game. You can understand that.
I completely somewhat agree.
What does that mean?
Because...
completely somewhat agree?
That's right. Well, I was going to completely disagree, but I don't think what you're saying is wrong. I just think the way you're saying it is wrong. I think that if you were going to play a video game, for the most part, especially in the 80s, you are looking for a cheap, quick thrill. And
who isn't?
And Quest for the Rings is not that. Quest for the Rings is a pretty huge time commitment
yeah.
if you're going to play through the whole thing. And also, you're really supposed to have one person outside of the game that's kind of controlling the game like a dungeon master type role to set up the board and do all that kind of stuff.
It's funny. They've released a series, the Master Strategy series, whatever. And I've got a couple of them. I've got the Wall Street one. And me and Boat broke it out. We were like, we're going to play the Wall Street Odyssey 2 game.
Yeah.
And it was so complex. It was more complex than Wall Street. It's unbelievable. There's a ticker that goes across. And we
lost hundreds of dollars.
I mean, I believe Boat had the cameras lined up and everything. And we looked at it for about 10 minutes. And shut that off. We're done. We're not doing that. Too hard.
So you think
you got to draw the line.
Do you think a remake of Quest for the Rings could survive in today's market?
Well, it would be...
obviously upgraded and...
If it was me doing it, kickstart it. That's how you do it. That because you get that way you get the people that are into it. I think you could remake it and do pretty good. You got to pick the right system to put
it
on.
What system would you put it on? I mean, you got to go PC, right?
No, that's so lame. Like the Amiga would be great for it. It'd be perfect for it. You got everything you need there. That would be an awesome system. Plus, as we discussed yesterday, the Amiga community is willing to cough up the wad to get you paid.
So you're thinking the best way to remake Quest for the Rings for a popular audience is to put it on Amiga.
I would also put it on the Odyssey, too, as well.
You can't truly believe
it. And the TI. Get them in there.
All right, I'm spinning the wheel. Come on, Odyssey 2.
I will beat you.
Atari. Now, this is a broad spectrum.
You mean Atari from across all platforms?
That's right. Atari is a company. The overall beauty of Atari.
Okay.
Do you have a game that you would like to discuss?
Well, that you're sort of taking up a lot of space there.
Well, here's the thing. If I narrow down Atari, some members of our crowd will come up and beat me.
Well, I want to talk about, it's funny, I'll talk about the Atari 7800. Right, because check it out. Like no one likes this machine, right? Except they're dumb. Hold on, hear me out.
Like, the crowd's turning on us.
Like it got released, it landed with a thud, right? Because they kept it in the warehouse. Y'all know the story. 7800.
Thank you, Jocko.
Released it too late, you know. And then lo and behold, someone was like, "Hey, wait a minute, this thing's pretty darn good. It plays all the 2600 stuff, and the 7800 enhanced stuff is not bad. Some of it, I would say." It's real good. Whenever I can think about a really top shelf title, I would go with like Asteroids on there.
Asteroids is really good for the 7800.
Because you got to think that the 2600 version's good.
It's okay.
It's good. It's real good.
It's okay.
What do you mean it is? Don't say it's okay. But the 7800 version is real good. You got two player action.
Yes.
You've got competitive mode. It looks cool. The Asteroids look cool. I think that's a darn good game for the 7800, just off the top of my head.
Okay. No, let's talk about that then.
Yeah.
Some. Okay. Because I agree. I think it's a great game. I think it's a beautiful game for the console it's on.
Yeah.
Right? Two-player concept. I think it's kind of gimmicky, but it works. It works as well as it can. It's two-player Asteroids. Do you think... Well, before we go to that, because I want to mention something before I forget about it. Another system that got a ton of hate, especially last night when we mentioned it in passing, is the 5200.
Yeah.
Do you think it deserves the hate it gets?
Yeah. It's no good.
Okay. I thought you might try to defend it, but I agree. It's
you
also
can see
garbage.
What Atari was trying to do here.
Yeah.
They wanted a machine that had one cable coming out up to the TV. They wanted a machine that you could store the sticks in and stuff.
Yeah.
The problem is that they cheaped out on the joysticks, and those things were garbage.
Yes.
They also based it on, they could have just pretty much fully based on the Atari computer line. And
it would have been a lot better.
But they didn't do that. No. They didn't want to do that. And so that was a stupid thing to do.
Do you think they were trying to draw a line between this is our consoles and this is our computers?
I think they were doing the same thing computer companies have done throughout the ages. They were trying to capitalize on the good computer side with the console. And it almost inevitably fails. And we could cite many, such failures. Amstrad did it. The Amiga did it.
Yep.
You know, even the FM Towns did. All these guys did it. Oh, I'm just saying, that's what the Marty was.
Isn't it odd that they keep making that same mistake over and over?
Well, no. It's because if you're a computer guy, it's like, man, this looks great. You've got all this. You've already got the architecture. You've got all the software that's ready to go. So it seems like a good idea. And if you look at the rich wealth of software in the Atari 8-bit library. I mean, it's vast. It's underrated today. In its day, people knew how good it was, but now people are sort of sleeping on the 8-bit. And the Atari 8-bit's got tons and tons and tons of great stuff on it. And so, but the 5200, you can't get it done with the 5200.
I agree.
It's bulky. That power going to the RF thing is a disaster.
It's a wiring nightmare.
It's huge. It's like a boat anchor. Its peripherals are weird. The joysticks are crap. That trackball peripheral is awesome, but it's huge and heavy. It's as big as the console.
It is.
You know?
It tried to be its own little control panel.
It was.
Yeah.
It was clearly its own control panel.
Yeah. Okay, we're running out of time, so I want to real quickly, let's get back to Asteroids for the 7800.
Yeah.
Do you think that is something that, obviously, they've remade Asteroids a billion times at this point, right?
Yeah.
Do you think you can take the core concept of the Asteroids for the 7800, the two-player aspect, I think that was really the unique selling point of that game. Do you think you can remake Asteroids today using that concept, maybe even make it four-player or six-player?
Well, I mean, clearly, it's stuff like that's been done. Indies Asteroids has been cloned a million times.
Right.
You can do anything with it. The original concept was so clever. I don't know. It depends on what kind of... Is it GTA level sales numbers? No.
No, of course not.
But some indie geek can make a few bucks selling it to people with cell phones.
Would you be interested in a thing like that? Modern?
Oh, yeah.
Modernized?
What'd be cool is you play it online.
No.
That'd be awesome.
No. I think some games... I think recently released, that six-player Turtles game, right?
Yeah.
Shredder's Revenge. Awesome. Awesome. It's a good sit-down, play it, get through it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Asteroids, I think the way Asteroids was made was to be a 5-10 minute concept, I mean, at expert levels, and trying to stretch that over any amount of time with friends or whatever, because you'd have to put in experience and power-ups and that kind of crap. The concept's not there. It's
You're
not
nuts.
Right for it.
You're nuts. You're out of your mind.
No.
Remember when that Streets of Rage 3 came out a couple
completely
years ago?
Completely different
and
concept.
And people were like, oh, man, they were licking their chops with Streets of Rage. They can't get their paws. Then it came out, and it was a big ballyhoo. And then when was the last time we talked about that? Zero times. And this Shredder thing. Right now, everybody's like, oh, it's the Turtles. These beat-em-ups, they come and go. Asteroids, high score games, they're going to be around forever because there's going to be people out there trying to better themselves.
Oh, we got spin. And we've got the Commodore 64.
All right.
Now, Aaron, I want to talk about...
I got to hear this.
I want to go down a line of games that is often praised for the Commodore 64.
All right.
It's many, many, many sports titles.
Okay.
All right.
Wait a minute. What? The people praise a bunch of Commodore sports titles?
Yeah. You've got all your Olympic games.
But that's on every machine.
You've got... Where do you play? If you're going to play a game like Summer Games or Winter Games or California Games, where are you going to play it?
Amiga?
Wrong. You're going to play it on the C64.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, no, seriously. You would play it on the Amiga over the C64?
Well, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Easier.
Easier in what regard?
To like load up and play, I guess. I like them better on there.
I completely disagree.
I want to hear stuff about C64 exclusive titles from you. Let's hear some.
Oh, gosh. I have no idea.
That's what you get for cutting me off.
Okay, give me a C64 exclusive, Aaron, that wasn't made in the last decade.
In the last decade? Well, let me think here for a second. How about Forbidden Forest? That's a great game. Yeah. No one ever talks about that anymore, and it was awesome. I played, me and Bo stumbled upon that when we did ARG early on.
Was Forbidden Forest the one that was not actually released?
No,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're exposing yourself. By the way, that one was released too, wasn't it?
It was.
There you go. Forbidden Forest is a great game, and it sets a beautiful atmosphere. It's got the music and stuff. I heard an interview with the guy that made it, and his approach was very cinematic. He was a movie guy. He was a soundtrack guy. And so when he put Forbidden Forest together, he was not a programmer. Like, his programming knowledge was limited, and so he put it together like he would put together a movie. Like, what is the hero? What is the concept? What is he trying to do? Who's the bad guy? Have the sound ramp up, have it get darker and more evil looking. The effects were cool. That's a great game that plays in a way you don't see a lot of other games played. I'll really enjoy that one.
It's also not a C64 exclusive.
Well, what else was it on?
The Atari 8-bit.
Well, but see, he programmed it originally for
C64. No, wait. You were chastising me, and you're like, Mark, you can't even think of a C64 exclusive.
Let me tell you something.
You gave a game that wasn't a C64 exclusive.
You're arguing semantics here because you looked it up on Wiki. I'm looking right
That's
here.
That's right, because I did not know the
game.
Well,
that doesn't get, you don't get to badmouth me.
No, try again.
Now it's your turn. I picked one.
I have no idea
what C64 is. Why don't you look on Wiki and see if you can find something that's exclusive?
Honestly, I
was lying. Don't really do that. What are you guys? What's your favorite C64 game? Shout it out.
Park Patrol.
That's a good one.
Impossible Mission.
It's
on multiple things.
Space Taxi.
Space Taxi. That's another great
can
one.
Can anyone give me a C64 exclusive?
Park Patrol.
Park Patrol's on the Atari, too.
No,
isn't
it's not.
It? Really?
No, it's not.
There you go, Park Patrol, which is a great game. And what I like about Park Patrol is that if you don't pay attention, like you don't even know you could go in the water or on the land. That's what makes it great.
Wait, what is it?
Park Patrol. You've never heard of that? You're picking up litter, and you're a ranger. And the good thing is it allows you to go in the water and on the land. it's a real fun game. I believe it was Activision, wasn't it, Boat, yeah, that put that out.
Yeah, Lawless.
And what I can't figure out about a game like that is why, like, that's another one. C64 people know it, but, like, no one really talks about that one too much. And why didn't that get moved over to, like, some of the consoles? It would have worked great over there.
Not an exclusive. Also released on the Spectrum and the Amstrad.
U.S. exclusive.
Would you stop? Would you?
No. Here's my thing. And this is an incredibly.
This is like live trolling.
No.
Some geek on the keyboard. You're wrong, and you don't have an answer of your own. All you're doing is bad mouthing other people's answers.
No, because I was at the.
This is why you're reviled right here.
This is no. You're the one that called off the challenge.
Would
you're
you the listen? One that listen, we've ruined this one. Spin it again. We're sorry, 64. He's an idiot.
Also,
would you stop looking at Wiki? Just roll the dice. Let's go.
C64. Come on, baby. One time for me. Okay, Atari.
I want to talk about 2600 now.
Okay, 2600.
So what's your favorite Atari 2600 game?
I mean, Combat would be my favorite.
Combat's awful good.
Yeah.
But it's not the. I mean, it's not the best.
No, I didn't. You didn't ask for the best. You
what
said
about
my
what
favorite.
About? I like Pitfall 2.
Pitfall is a really good system.
Pitfall 2 is the good one.
Now here's the thing, Combat. Obviously, the premier two player game for the Atari.
It was great. It's a great game. One of the great pack in games of all time.
Do you think? And we'll go back to Pitfall because Pitfall 2 was actually an incredible game. Do you think Atari did enough to rectify the mistake they made with their first Pac-Man, by the second Pac-Man release?
Yeah, but by that time, they'd already sold a zillion consoles.
No. I'm saying, do you think that the second release of Pac-Man was good enough to pretend like the first
Pac-Man? They released
Pac-Man
the second Pac-Man on the 2600?
Missed
Pac-Man.
Yeah. Well,
missed. Thank you.
Well, that's not a second Pac-Man. What did you just say, Miss Pac-Man? The no is the answer.
Okay. So you're saying...
It's like talking to Yoda. Like, I don't know what the hell you're saying.
Do you think... Okay, let's back up a little bit. Maybe I should start this conversation with the 2600 Pac-Man. Obviously a disaster of release. I mean, it sold millions and millions of copies.
It wasn't horrible.
It was also one of the most returned games of all time. Yeah. Not E.T. was worse.
It could have been worse, though. It wasn't. What? I mean, you could play it. I mean, I played it. If you had a 2600, you played it. It was Pac-Man-esque. You played it. The cherries looked like a big red dot. You were eating dashes. Pac-Man was squared off. But, I mean, it's all you had. It was okay.
I disagree.
It was horrible. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it was. You still played it. People still played it. Everyone I knew had it. And they all played it.
But you saw with Miss Pac-Man,
yeah,
what they could have done if they would have taken their time and did it right.
Right.
Now, I know there's the whole story behind it, you know, it was lawsuits. They were trying to get it out the door. Because everyone else was releasing their Pac-Man version, and they wanted to catch that crowd while it was still hot.
Yeah.
Do you think that is justification when Atari... I'm not talking about the programmers. You know, they did what they had. They did what they could. I'm talking about corporate. Do you think that's justification for them to release that game in the state that it was in?
Yeah. Listen, I've put a lot of 2600 games were 50,000 times worse than Pac-Man. Are you kidding me? You ever play Tic-Tac-Toe in there? For God's sakes, Pac-Man's a game.
We have a fundamental difference in opinion then.
Listen, you know the guy that made that? He got one of the biggest royalty payoffs of any of the programs
there.
Yeah,
because when you buy...
He went to the money bank. Atari made too many of these things. That was the problem. People bought them.
It also was not that good.
People were like...
And there were other versions of that game.
But this right here, this is what happens when you look at this stuff 1,000 years ago. People look at Pac-Man, they're like, oh, God, look at this blocky disaster. That's because everybody's spoiled.
All right, we got to spin. Our timer is drastically reducing here. All right, we've got
Sinclair,
Aaron. Do you have, have you played enough of those games to have a favorite?
Oh, I've played plenty of those games. Gosh, a favorite Sinclair game. I really like Happy Coding's game with me in it.
What?
Shays Maxim. Because I can see me, you know. And also I should mention, Happy has released a Boatface exclusive game with all of us in it. It's a remake of Attic Attack. And so I like that one, too. Now, Attic Attack is an actual game I never got along with.
Right.
You know, But I do, I really do like, I mean, of all the games I've played, I think Chase Max is one of my favorite games. Not just because I'm in it, it's just fun. I like the going back and forth aspect. I will say, this is apropos, but I mean, 3D Death Race is a lot of fun, and that's what we're playing this week, and it's a lot of fun. That's one of the first games I ever played on the Spectrum. I picked it because it had a cool name, and I love that game. It really gives you a good sense of movement and stuff, and it shows you what you can do in a system that has limitations. You can really make stuff interesting and fun and fast.
Now, I'll have to say, you obviously have a vast superior
that's true.
Experiences with the ZX Spectrum than I do. Do you think that for a little computer that could, that they tapped all its potential?
Oh, God, no. No. There's all kinds of potential left in the Spectrum.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The new stuff coming out, they've got a lot of... They've got good stuff coming out. The demo scene on there is stunningly, surprisingly interesting.
Really?
Yeah. And demo makers, it's just like I watch 48K's channel with the Atari. Like, you see these demos that you can't believe exist on these little machines. You know, it blows my mind. And the ZX is the same way. So, yeah, there's always a little bit left to squeeze it. I mean, there's some consoles. I think they've almost got all of it out. Like, maybe the 2600. I think they're pretty close. They pretty much milked that one dry. But there's plenty of juice still in a lot of these. And there's tons of untapped potential in some of the machines that... They just haven't gotten around yet.
Like, we got to spin.
How much time are we getting now?
Chat subject choice. Chat, give us a subject.
R-E-S-T.
No, a Rick subject, not a concept. A subject, not a console. Everyone's giving us computers and consoles.
That's because subject, that's an abstract concept, a subject.
Does anyone not understand the concept of subject? Aaron is concerned
for you. How many people
you?
Have shouted out a subject?
Best battle chess board.
Let's talk about the Atari ST. That was a good one. And you glazed
all right,
over that.
All right.
Listen, we were getting into this last night, and I thought, Boat, I almost brought a tear to my eye, Boat, when you gave that long, drawn-out response yesterday on why the ST is looked down upon now after by the Amiga crowd. This is a fairly capable machine that you got at a good price. We learned that when we did the Amiga versus Atari ST show.
That really opened my eyes a lot to when you really go back and look at the subject.
Yeah.
That you, if you ignore the timeline, you lose so much of the story.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. Just like the Pac-Man. When you look back on this stuff now. Sure, it's like, wow, the Amiga really glazed over. But, I mean, the Atari was there first. It was way cheaper, and it was capable right out of the box with a lot of software. And while the Amiga took a – trust me, I've looked at the first couple years of the Amiga. The software was garbage. It was no good. Like, the Atari had good stuff out of the gate, and it came in at a reasonable price, including tools for not just gamers, but also people that want to do musical stuff. So I think it's a system now that, I mean, in the States, no one gave any craps about the Atari ST. But over in Europe and stuff where it had a little bit of footing, you know, it has its crowd, but it's funny that they've sort of, you know, they're not as loud or as large as the Amiga crowd, but I guess they're still there. But me and Boat have been doing the ST show, and I've looked through a lot of games we haven't even tried yet. There's some pretty good stuff on there, and there's Sundog was really a surprise for me. That's a heck of a game. The depth on that was off the charts. As a space exploration game, it was like Frontier, except you get to go down on the planet. You get to explore cities. You get to explore planets. There was a lot of moving parts.
Well, yeah, I went into that when I was doing the Atari versus Amiga thing. Now, Aaron, I have a question.
Yeah?
By what year of Amiga do you think that the war was over?
When the 500 came out.
So what was that year, like 3?
About 80, 88, something like 87.
What do you think after that, that was the cheaper price.
That's it.
And the companies
I think that's
really
when
turned
it's not
on
like
Atari
it's not like
point.
The second it came out, the Atari just exploded. It took, but I mean, that's just the tipping point was when the 500 was released, in my opinion.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, there you go.
We have about 30 seconds more on this topic. Do you want to actually pick a game?
I did, Sundog. And like I said, so far for the games me and Bode have played,
it's so complex.
That's the one that's most impressive. The problem is just getting it to run.
Yeah, and it's very complex.
We don't have an actual STE, and so getting this stuff to, it's a real challenge. Because the emulation, I know I got the Mister and stuff, but it's still, this stuff me and Bode have to do to get some of the stuff to work. Bode was telling me the instructions to get one of these games to work. You have to hold that escape, hit F6, then you got to wait 30 seconds. It's like, what is going on? And in Sundog, we had to quit playing every, what, 40 minutes or so and crash, so... You know, that's part of it, though.
All right, and we got two spins left in it.
All right.
These are going to be quick discussions.
Oh, geez.
On the Nintendo. Aaron.
Yeah.
I wanted to know something. Did you ever play Bionic Commando back in the day for the Nintendo Entertainment System?
Is that the one where the guy's arms extend?
Yeah, well, he can shoot and use it as a grappling.
Yeah, I have played that.
All right. Do you have an opinion on that before I talk about how awesome it was?
I don't have an opinion. All right. I don't remember.
Let me tell you something. That was such a groundbreaking game because it took jumping out of the equation. It's one of the few games that I remember growing up that excelled off of removing a gameplay element. Now, not being able to jump, because it was a platform game.
Yeah.
Not being able to jump, forcing you to use your grapple arm for mobility was a genius and risky move, and they pulled it off to a T. Also, you get to kill Robot Hitler in that. His head explodes and he curses, all in a Nintendo game. It was one of the best experiences I've ever rented as a Nintendo as a kid. Can you think of any other game element that you remove from a game to enhance the experience?
I'm preoccupied. So I was thinking to myself, what would it be like to go through life with a grapple arm?
Well, that's good. Good job.
I mean, that would be cool, I think, right? But I mean, did he have a real arm, or was it something he put on?
No, it was.
His arm was severed. Did he do it on purpose, or was it like a robot?
Well, he's a super soldier.
Because I mean, you could get a lot of action with a robo arm.
Well, also he could pick up things with it.
Right, and you could swing with it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think with our body mass, if we tried to swing the robot off...
Well, you'd be in better shape. You can reach the fridge from the living room.
One of two things are happening. Yeah. Our shoulders are separating, or we're tearing down building structures.
I think we should... I think, you know, they've got the all these scooters and all this electronic stuff that get...
You're right. I do want a little scooter.
No, I mean, I think we went in the wrong direction. If we all had... If they worked with grapple arms, we could get...
The Neo Geo, Aaron, of course, we have to talk about the one, the only, NAM 45.
Yeah, that's the one.
Do you have, obviously our favorite game is Neo Turf Masters.
That's real good.
Let's go past that, okay? We all know it. We all love it.
Yeah,
obviously one of, if not the best golf games of all time.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that.
Why? Because
we have to force ourselves past what we're
We have to play,
about.
Okay. What does that mean? That's kind of weird sound.
What is another Neo Geo game that you can recommend to the world?
I like World Heroes
that
2.
That isn't a fighting game.
Okay, Neo Mr. Do. You know, I always hated this game.
Neo
and then I started
Mr. Do
playing
is garbage.
It, and now I kind of like it. It's got two, you get two dudes. Two dudes.
Are you seriously recommending to the world Neo Mr. Do?
First of all, I got a soft spot for Mr. Do. By the way, Jeopardy yesterday, I couldn't believe no one answered the Mr. Do question.
I couldn't either.
I was appalled by that.
I was disappointed.
Because Do is cool, and Mr. Do's kind of, the Neo version, he's kind of funky. You know, he's got kind of a color splash going on. And I thought, why not? It's the unique Mr. Do game on a system like that. I hated it at first, but now I kind of like it.
What brought you around? What did you, what?
I don't know, just played it a lot, kind of got into it, you know?
I mean, was it so, did you figure something out?
I just like the look, the look of it. Yeah, I got better at it. It's just one of those games. I mean, when you first look at it.
All right, we got to spin the wheel.
Your rules suck. I don't get it. What about, how come you never get interrupted?
Four-player games.
All right.
We got 1 minute, Aaron. Give me a four-player game you love.
I like NBA Jam on the Jaguar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little real quick. That was a boat fest miracle.
Yeah. yes.
Someone brought a multi-tap.
That was Pac-Billy.
Had two controllers.
Yeah.
Aaron just happenstance to find the two he owned.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then it happened.
Yeah,
Four-player NBA Jam on the Jaguar. Might be the only time in this state it's ever happened.
That was great. I didn't know they made a four-player adapter for it. So it made it double fun. And then you had to figure out the intricate cryptic controls to get everything started up. They loved it. They had it all ironed out by the time I got there.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
you have to worry about the cryptic controls of controlling the game, which they put the turbo button in the middle button. I don't know what they were thinking there.
That is odd.
Hey, listen, that game plays great. It looks great. That did. I mean, we had a good time. It looks just like NBA Jam. Why aren't there more games like that on the Jaguar? There's only two games that support that thing.
That is kind
Why
of
Why did
crazy,
you buy man. That, Pac? Are you out of your mind?
All right, Aaron, last spin. This is a 30-second discussion.
Let's talk about your talent.
The C64 for a final time. Aaron, can you name an exclusive? No, you can't, so I will give you some.
He just doctored the wheel. So you've got he's got the page up here.
We got a Barbie 1984 game. Why didn't you play that?
Frodo covered that one.
Breakdance. Why don't you get up and do some
That's
of that
That's Flock's game. He covered that one.
Cave of the Word Wizard. That sounds kind of fun. Frantic Freddy. We're going to have to check that out.
I think
out.
I knew that guy.
Hole-in-One Golf. We've got Ice Palace. Oh, we're out of time, Aaron. Hit the music.
Which music?
It's all over for us. Thank you for joining us here at Boat Fest. We hope you had a time.
Did you have a time?
I'm not restricting people to a good time, Aaron. I know better than that.
You're an idiot. See you next week, everybody. Everyone.
Thanks for joining us today. We really hope you enjoyed the show. A special thank you to Devin Styles for our vector style graphics and Parkbit for our amazing music. Would you like to help keep ARG spinning? You can do so at patreon.com/ARGpresents. Just like these fine folks. Drarlet 17. Laurent Garouk, Templar Mar, Z9K9, Jerry Dennington, John Dykeman, Retroalgy, Air Shack, Texas Foosballer, Sundown, O'Raw, Super Tech Boy, David Terrence, Mr. B, Roushi, Ram, W. Betke, Dave Velociraptor, Bernhardt Lucas, Steve Rasmussen, Anthony Jarvis, Bitter Blitter, Jocko 6502, Kevin Bean, Andy Jones, Andy Craig, Rob Black O'Hara, Jason Warnes, Mitsuyama, Chris Bowles, Frodo Adele, The Slow Norris, Terry Howard, Olaf Hope, and Rolo. They all have access to our Discord channel, their name called out in the credits, and visualize in the ending scene. Have an idea for a wheel piece? You can send it to us at argpresents@mail.com.